All right, so today we're going to be looking at Daniel's final vision, chapters 10 through 12.
Okay.
And just to kind of set the scene, it's 536 BC. The Jewish people are back in their land after exile,
Right.
but things aren't exactly, sunshine and roses just yet.
Right.
Daniel's fasting, he's in mourning, and right in the middle of all of that, he gets hit with this incredibly vivid vision.
Yeah, and what's fascinating here is that this vision, it's not just symbolic like some of the other ones we see in Daniel.
Right.
This one really lays out a specific, almost play-by-play, timeline of Israel's future.
Okay.
It's full of conflict, but it ultimately ends with this promise of resurrection, which is something we really don't see a lot of in the Old Testament before this.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so picture this. Daniel's by the Tigris River when this being appears.
Okay.
I mean, this isn't your average angel, dressed in linen, a gold belt, a body like barrel face like lightning. I think I would drop my phone too if I saw that.
You said it, and Daniel, who's already met some pretty intense angels, he is absolutely terrified.
Right.
I mean, some scholars even think that, this might be more than an angel,
Okay.
maybe even a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ.
Wow, now that's interesting. Okay, but then later on, this being tells Daniel he was delayed
Right.
because the Prince of Persia detained him.
Yes.
He even needed Michael the Archangel to help out. So
Wow.
does that mean it wouldn't have been Christ?
Yeah, it's definitely a point of debate. But what
Right.
it does tell us is that there's this whole unseen world
Yeah.
of spiritual warfare going on with these angelic beings influencing nations.
Hmm.
We get glimpses of this in other parts of the Bible, but here it's front and center.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Yeah.
And remember, Daniel needs three touches from this being before he can even hear the revelation.
Right.
Talk about high-level security clearance, right?
Absolutely.
Clearly, this message is important.
It is, and the content of the revelation itself, it really is mind-blowing. It covers centuries of history with incredible accuracy,
Okay.
starting with Persia, moving on to Greece, even highlighting Alexander the Great's rise and fall in detail.
It's like getting a sneak peek at history before it even happens.
Right.
And what's really striking to me is just how specific the prophecy is.
Yes.
It's almost like filling in the blanks with names from a history book.
Exactly. And then we move on to this century-long struggle between the Ptolemies of Egypt
Okay.
and the Seleucids of Syria.
Right.
This power struggle that the prophecy just nails perfectly.
Wow.
But then it shifts focus to this figure who's called the despicable person, Antiochus of the Fourth
Yeah,
Epiphanes.
you don't need a degree in biblical studies to figure out this guy's bad news.
No, you don't.
The prophecy predicts his rise to power, how he'll attack the Prince of the Covenant, and even the plundering of the temple. And it's all disturbingly accurate.
It really is. It's like this chilling foreshadowing of what will happen in 167 BC when
Wait.
Antiochus outlaws all Jewish practices and sets up this pagan altar in the temple, what's known as the Abomination of Desolation.
Okay.
And this event actually, it prefigures what Jesus warns about in the New Testament, a connection worth exploring further, I'd say.
Totally agree. And then the prophecy takes another turn.
Yeah, from verse 11.36 onward, the prophecies, it starts talking about this king
Okay.
who places himself above every god, even honoring a god that his ancestors never knew,
Huh.
and his end is shrouded in mystery with no one there to help him.
Okay, so here's where things get really interesting. Is this prophecy still talk about Antiochus?
Right.
Or is this giving us like a sneak peek at a future figure, maybe even the Antichrist?
It's a question that has puzzled scholars for ages.
Right.
Some believe that the Book of Daniel was actually written much later,
Okay.
during Antiochus's reign,
Interesting.
and that the author, trying to predict the future, got some details wrong.
Huh.
It's called the ex eventu prophecy theory.
Okay.
Essentially, the prophecy was written after the events already happened.
So, like writing a history report, but pretending it's a prediction?
Precisely.
Okay.
And that would explain why the details about Persia and Greece are so accurate.
Right.
But then it raises another question.
Which is.
If a book in the Bible contains errors, what does that mean for its authority?
That's a tough one.
Right.
Okay, but the traditional view, right, maintains that this king who exalts himself
Yeah.
is a separate figure altogether, someone who will appear in the future, the Antichrist.
Right.
What's the evidence for that?
Well, I think the language describing this king feels different.
Okay.
It's more cosmic, more symbolic.
Hmm.
Plus, there are these connections to other parts of Daniel, like those little horn visions
Uh-huh.
that seem to point to a future figure who will, wreak havoc.
Yeah, and we can't forget about, the New Testament warnings about the Antichrist
Right.
and the beast in Revelation.
Exactly. It all starts to paint a pretty intense picture of what's to come. But here's the thing, though.
What's that?
We don't have to choose sides.
Okay.
I mean, the beauty of Daniel is that it allows for these multiple layers of interpretation.
Right.
We can appreciate its historical accuracy
Right.
and still ponder its potential implications for the future.
That's a great point. It's like this prophecy operates on all these different levels.
Yes.
Okay, so we've got this king, but then Daniel 12 kicks off with Michael the Archangel stepping up to protect God's people.
Right.
During this time of intense distress, like a time unlike anything the world has ever seen.
Yes. And right after that, we get this incredible promise.
Mm-hmm.
Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt.
Wow. That's heavy stuff. That's one of the clearest descriptions of resurrection in the entire Old Testament.
It is. You don't see this kind of language anywhere else.
No, you don't.
And it would have been incredibly meaningful to the Jewish people
right.
facing persecution under Pantiochus.
Right.
But it also raises some questions, doesn't it?
Definitely. Like, who exactly is being resurrected here? Everyone. Just those who suffered during this specific time of distress.
Yeah, it's part of the mystery.
Yeah.
And those mysteries are part of what makes this passage so captivating.
Yeah.
It invites us to delve deeper, to search for those answers.
And then there's the whole thing about the sealed book and those mysterious numbers.
Right.
The being tells Daniel to seal the book until the end times when knowledge will increase.
Mm.
It's like there's even more to understand.
Right.
Something beyond what Daniel himself gasped.
Exactly. And then two other figures appear asking how long.
Okay.
And the answer is a times and half a time, more symbolic language.
Oh, man.
We even get specific numbers of days 1290 and 1335.
Right.
But their meaning remains unclear.
It's almost frustrating, right?
Yeah.
You want to know what it all means.
Yes.
But even Daniel didn't get all the answers.
Right.
He was told to go his way
uh-huh.
and trust that God's word would be fulfilled in his time.
Which I think is a powerful message for us, too.
Yeah.
It's about patience,
right.
about having faith that even when we don't understand everything,
yeah.
God is in control and his plan will unfold in its own time.
So we've got this incredibly detailed prophecy, right? We get these glimpses into this whole other world of spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And then there's the promise of resurrection. But then it ends with all these mysteries.
Right.
Like loose threads that are just begging to be tied up.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing, right?
It really is. It's like we're being handed a puzzle box and told, okay, here are some pieces, but you're going to have to search for the rest.
Yeah.
And when you find them, you'll see the bigger picture.
I love that analogy. And that makes me wonder if Daniel's prophecy is so accurate about the events leading up to Antiochus the Fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make it more likely that the king who exalts himself is a future figure? Or could the prophecy be like shifting gears, you know, becoming more symbolic and less about specific historical events?
It's a question worth wrestling with. And honestly, there's no weeby answer.
Yeah.
Both sides have strong arguments.
Right.
But that's part of what makes studying Daniel so fascinating.
Mm.
It challenges us to think critically, to dig deeper,
right.
to consider different perspectives.
Exactly. It's not about just blindly accepting one interpretation or another.
Right.
It's about engaging with the text.
Yes.
Asking tough questions and letting the mystery fuel our curiosity.
Absolutely. And speaking of digging deeper, if this deep dive has left you wanting more,
yeah.
and I suspect it has,
right.
there are so many avenues to explore.
Okay.
Want more detail on Antiochus the Fourth's reign? Check out the books of Maccabees.
Okay.
Curious about different interpretations of the king who exalts himself? There are tons of commentary about there.
Right.
Or maybe you want to delve deeper into the concept of resurrection in the Old Testament.
Right.
That's a whole rabbit hole in itself.
The possibilities are endless. And that's what makes these deep dives so exciting.
Right.
We get to learn, explore, and ask questions together.
Absolutely.
So keep those questions coming. And until next time, happy exploring.